Well, we're going to start with, continue on with the end of days. This is going to be part four. The other three parts are on the podcast if you need to catch up. I think every believer, you would literally have to have your head in the sand and be willfully ignorant not to realize that, yeah, we are in the end of days. We are in end times, and all the signs, everything is out there pointing to it. And this COVID thing, as I said before, is just a dress rehearsal for the things that are coming upon the earth. The next event for the church is the rapture, the catching away. That is the next thing for the church. And after that will be the entrance of the Antichrist. And then, of course, along with that, he'll usher in the new world order. You know, before COVID, United States economy was booming. It was the best ever. Unemployment rates were at their very rock bottom, at their lowest. The health of the United States was healthy. There was no food crisis or shortages at all, you know, in the United States. There may have been in some countries. But during COVID, food crisis was just rampant. There was billions of dollars of aid that's supposed to fund the global food shortage, not just in the United States, but worldwide. And you know that those billions of dollars, which your taxpayer dollars pay for, all of you hardworking people, that it is being held up by the United Nations. There's a commission there. And the extreme pro-abortion members, because they're demanding that part of that money, part of that billions of money, instead of all of that money going towards food shortage to those in Africa and to all the other different nations where they're literally starving, they want a great portion of that money to fund Planned Parenthood, to fund abortions. So they put a stop on it. That's why we still have a continual food crisis, a food shortage. And just evil, yeah. And it's all under the guise, UN funding, under the guise of the virus. During COVID, we've had thousands of criminals released. Thousands of criminals, murderers, rapists, all got free. And then yet we had decent U.S. citizens, moms and dads. We had a hair salonist in the state of Texas get arrested because she kept her business open to feed her children, got arrested. We've had countless things to wear because people aren't honoring or doing the distancing. They're being arrested. Yet thousands of criminals can go loose on the streets. America, some of the leaders have really lost their minds. They really have. And then you have the shutdown of the churches. There's such an assault on the church of God, on the word of God. We hear continually from different ministries, high profile ministries, canceling all of their crusades, canceling all of their meetings abroad, internationally, because can't fly because of the quarantine, because churches, this and that. And as you all know, that the governor of California has put a mandate to shut down all the churches in California. And then on top of that, to add insult to injury, he told them that they can't praise and worship. But yet, on the other hand, the bars in California, the malls, the places where they have karaoke and they sing and entertain, nothing was said to shut them down, only in the church. It's a blatant, outright attack against the church of God. So we need to continue to pray, especially for California, for the churches. And there are some very brave pastors who are standing up and saying, we ain't closing down again. You know, we can see behind this thing, and it's deceptive. And I love what one pastor said. He said that, he says, we cannot render unto Caesar what belongs to God. And worship and coming together, as the word says, do not forsake the assembling, sing unto God. You know, the Psalms is loaded with scripture and verses talking about praising to God. Don't withhold your praises to him. And so we're rendering to God what belongs to God, not to man, not to government. And then one thing, too, that the COVID brought in was the lawlessness. You know, the Antichrist is known, the Bible calls him the son of perdition, son of lawlessness. And we see that rampantly to where even the police are being murdered in Portland, in Chicago, in L.A., in different cities. You all hear about it on the news. It's not just one or two. It's severe. It's bad where, you know, you have these anarchy just blatantly out there. And seem to be going uncontrolled. These are signs of the end times. And even though there's one Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is already working out there in the world. You know, you may say, well, how so? What would possess a governor, you know, and there's multiple ones, to tell the churches to shut down? What would possess a governor in the Midwest to prevent people from buying seed from a hardware store and planting vegetables and growing food where that's not allowed? That's not allowed. In this one state, the governor forbids his people to do that. And on with these strict anarchies. It's that subtle spirit of Antichrist slowly, you know, working within our youth, working within the universities, destroying the homes, pulling down, you know, for years. And it should be no surprise, because for years, the universities, the schools, the government said, we don't want God. We don't want God. We don't want no prayer. Take them down. In Portland, just the other day, they showed on the news that they were burning Bibles, burning the American flag blatantly. If you did that years ago, you were in prison, lock, stock, and barrel. No questions asked. You were in defiance. You were arrested. Yet it's done openly, and nobody's doing anything. Nobody's doing anything. If the police want to do something, they're attacked by these groups. And so we're living in serious and in dangerous times. And what I want to talk to you this morning is, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1, about the spirit of deception. So this is going to be part 4 of the end of days, the spirit of deception. And I'm reading out of the Passion Version. It says that the Holy Spirit has explicitly revealed at the end of this age, where we're at right now, many will depart from the true faith one after another. So notice that he says, so if there's a true faith, then there's a false faith too. Yeah, there's, and we know that. Many false doctrines, a lot of errors, devouring themselves to spirits of deception and following demon-inspired revelations and theories. Hypocritical liars will deceive many, and their consciences won't bother them at all. Now, I read this out of the Passion, and this is 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Many will depart from the true faith. That's not talking about unbelievers, because they never were in the true faith. Here it's addressing believers, once believers who were red hot on fire for God, even ministers, even ones who served the Lord maybe all their lives were in active ministry. It says many will depart. Why would they depart the faith? How? The spirit of deception. It's a sly, it's a coy deception. And it just weaves its web slowly It works. It works in sly, subtle ways. Offense is one of them. And you know, to pull out as many out of the church and to get you lukewarm. And it's all hidden behind this agenda where that spirit of deception behind COVID, saying that, you know, if you don't feel safe, you don't have to go to church. This is the safest place anywhere. Safest place. You go to Walmart, you go to Target, you go to Home Depot, you go to Safeway. That's dangerous. Where there's no, you know, there's how many people down the aisles? People touching the showcases and the shelves and the merchandise. Those places are unsafe. And people out there working and all of these things. And yet people say, well, I don't know. Is it safe to go to church? Are you kidding me? For 2 hours once a week on Sunday, you know, and there's a spirit of deception where it just, you know, it's safer just to stay home and listen to live stream, listen to, you know, maybe one of these other ministries. That's all snack food. That's all supplementary. If Faith Family Maui is your church, and we're your pastors. You need to be here. We need to see the white of your eyes to look in. There's something about the corporate anointing when we all gather together about the presence of God where you can't receive that at home. Now, we understand certain situations with illnesses, taking care of people, where you have to stay home. But the doors have been opened. And we see already that if people were just, you know, lollygagging, playing this thing to where, you know, I don't really feel like it today, you know, maybe next week. You don't come Wednesday night, your prayer life, you don't come to prayer meetings. Sunday, we haven't seen you. Where are you? There's a spirit of deception. And the deception works to the point where you don't know you're deceived. I'm not deceived. I'm okay. I'm all right. Okay. And that's what's so deceptive about deception, to where you don't know it. It's coy, it's sly. Some of the definitions of deception is to beguile, to delude, to cheat, swindle. Listen to these words: to entice, sting, like a bee sting, to outwit, to fool. To dupe, you've heard that, have you been duped? And defrauded, to outsmart, and to entrap. These are all definitions of deception. Eve was deceived in the garden. King David was beguiled by the beauty of Bathsheba. He was deceived. Samson in the Bible was deceived. He was tricked by Delilah to where she got him. She mesmerized him to where he gave up his secret to his strength, to her. And when he was sleeping, she took him to the homemade barbershop, bzzz, you know, just gave him a haircut, lost all his hair, his strength. Samson, it came back, but still, Samson was deceived. And the deceptive veil behind this COVID has deceived thousands and thousands of people. And a lot of them are Christians. A lot of them are Christians. What would happen? Not here, but you know, it's happening. We see it in different states where they do that other, start mandating again, shutdown of churches. Are we going to just lay down and accept it, go belly up and say, huh? It's our constitutional right. It's part of our amendment rights. We were talking yesterday and we says that the laws, the supreme laws of the land is the Constitution. But above that is the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And that rules. And you know, these other laws that go against the word of God, like abortion laws, the ones where, you know, murdering innocent babies, and the ones, you know, that are catering to the homosexual. You know, the Bible says in Daniel that the Antichrist spirit, he In Daniel, it says that he will not prefer women. He will have no natural affection towards women. So in other words is, he's going to be a homosexual. He's going to be gay. So that's why this spirit has been so rampant over the years and so in your face to accept it. Now, if you want to get free from that, God will certainly deliver you and heal you. But yet they want to just push their agenda, even to have church, to be ministers, pastors. And God, you know, that, there's a deception, too, over people that will say, just let me stay in my sin and still be saved. You know, for God loves me. He's full of mercy. Yes, he is all those things. But yet he will not let us stay in our sin. You know, he wants us to change. There's grace, there's mercy. And there's that deception to where you can just come to church, live any way you want, come anytime you want, stay home, and yet be saved. And that's dangerous because that's a deception. And it's slowly, not just being out there just recently, but weaving its way into the church, into Christians. And so we have to be on guard, have our spiritual antennas up there. Turn over to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 3rd verse. Second Timothy has a lot to say, you know, about deception too as well. 4th chapter, verse 3, it says, "For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears that are itchy," I call it the itchy ear syndrome, "having itchy ears for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold," verse 4 says, "and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions." The parallel translation says, "There will be times when people will not relate to their inner resonance, to that inner witness on the inside of you, the Holy Ghost. They'll ignore that because they're already dull of hearing." It says, "When it comes to discerning sound instruction, instead they'll prefer the familiar language of the fallen mindset and desperately chase after titles and teachers who entertain rather than educate. They would accumulate for themselves libraries of information without any revelation." In other words, just tell me something to make me feel good. You know, don't tell me the truth. A watered down version of the word. I don't want to hear anything that's going to challenge me, that's going to make me change some of my ways. Just give me something to where I can feel good. Pastor, just go easy. Just go easy on us. Don't give us the full strength of the word, but just tell us something that's just going to, you know, tickle your ears a little bit. You know, it says itchy ear, so it has to be scratched, and it has to hear something that will appease it. And one remedy to keep this from happening is a renewed mind. Out of the parallel translation, it says that a renewed mind, listen to this, conquers the space. A renewed mind, your renewed mind, conquers the space that was previously occupied by worthless pursuits, habits, and mindsets. So if your mind is renewed, it will occupy. But if there's some vacancy in there with old ways of thinking, old mindsets, deception, you know, from small little lies, but a renewed mind will push that out. There's no room for any of these other things. The renewed mind, Put up that sign, no vacancy here, full of the word of God. Kick anything out, anything that will try to seep in there. Now, that doesn't resonate with my inner man, with my spirit, with the Holy Spirit saying with me. You'll know just like that. But if you're dull and you keep getting duller and duller, and you're not renewing your mind, how can you stay out of church and keep your mind renewed unless you're really diligently reading your word? But, you know, I don't know. I would think that most people are not seriously, fervently reading the word. Because if you're going to read the word, you're going to be here with likewise believers. You're going to want to come. I got to get to church. I want to get into the presence of God. I miss that. There's something about your personal devotion and meditation at home with the Lord. But then yet there's something when we all come together where each and every one of you bring your supply, bring what the Lord has deposited in you, your giftings, your abilities, and that corporate anointing flows. And there's power and strength in it. The church triumphant. We're it. This is it. Church triumphant isn't sitting at home watching TV Sunday morning. Church triumphant isn't thinking, well, maybe next Wednesday night, maybe I'll go. Maybe I'll pray, you know. Ah, they offended me. I don't like what they said. I don't like the pastors. This one said this. They hurt my feelings. That's not the church triumphant. And deception, if you continue on, deception will pull you out of the church. And yet in your mind, you're thinking, I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, I talk to God. No, you're not. Spirit of deception deceives some of the best ones in the Bible. Don't think you're so Mr., Mrs., you know, some spiritual giant where you're some match. If you're not doing what you're called to do and being present in church, when the roll call in heaven is given, here, here, Jaime here, Berna here, Carolyn here, so-and-so, absent, MIA, if you're missing continually, be careful. Be careful. That spirit of deception will pull you out, especially in these days. It's running rampant out there. And its target is you. It's not the unbelievers because he's already got them. You know, he's not even touching them. It's the believers that are being targeted. And it's all hidden behind this mask, this veil of a demonic name called COVID. You know, not, it's real. Yes, it's been killing people and whatnot. But yet again, too, we've had enough facts and we've seen enough things to where the mask has been pulled off of that thing. And we see really what's motivating it, and what's hiding behind it, which is a major attack on the gospel, on the churches globally, worldwide. Yeah. And the church has got to stay sharp. With your renewed mind, it'll give no opportunity for deception to creep in and to get you misled. In 2 Timothy, we read, Apostle Paul wrote this decades ago about this day and age, about now, right now where we live, 2020, in the month of August. Amazing how the apostles were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Some of these writings made in 92 AD, about today. The Bible was so prophetic. A third of the Bible is so prophetic, and it's spot on. And so less you read, the less you stay out of fellowship, less you stay out of the anointing, the presence of God, the more and more you're going to display and just put on the clothing of the world, and you won't even know it. You know, you ever get around somebody who used to serve God, and you notice the way they talk, their language, their dress, just everything. You go, wow. You know, of course, you're not going to say, what happened to you? But it's just all over them, you know, the world. Whence they were on fire, they were red hot for God, they served God. And all behind excuses, basically. And you have to be very, very, very careful. This itchy ear syndrome wants its ears tickled And it wants, there's four things that the itchy ear syndrome does. It wants a massage rather than a message. Rather than a good, strong message, the word of God, just, Pastor, just massage, just make us feel good. Come on, we're going through some tough times here. You know, after all, the world's in a crisis. Need the word of God, the full strength of God, the gospel preached. A sermon that charms rather than challenges. That's a part of the itchy ear syndrome. To be entertained rather than edify. Not happening here. And to please rather than preach the undiluted word of God. When people have itching ears, they decide for themselves what is right or wrong, and they always seek out others to support that notion. Yeah, they always want to share, you know, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. Where you been, you know, brother or sister, you know? Oh, we're okay, we're doing really good, and you know, but let me tell you what happened, you know, and share. Sounds like a little bit of offense maybe in there too, you know? And just got to share and get some buddies, get somebody else to agree with them. And they want their ears scratched, you know, appease me. Tell me that I'm right for staying out, you know, so I don't have to come. You're in dangerous territory. Yeah. This is such safety here. Yeah. This is such safety in the church. And to be out there on your own, paddling on your own boat, no navigation, not knowing where, upstream, downstream, and, you know, not knowing which end is up. And you think you're okay and you're not. And you resent somebody even telling you that, you're deceived. You're deceived. And it doesn't stop there, that spirit of deception, until it totally takes you out. And it's just like, you ever been in a boat? I know one time when I used to scuba dive years ago, I went night diving with a friend. And we started out on the shore. And, you know, when you go underneath the water, You lose all sense of direction, whether north, south, east, west, because it's pitch black. And so we went way, way out. And finally, when I came up, I was so far out there, I couldn't even see the hotel lights. It was just all pitch dark. It was scary. I just drifted way out there, couldn't even find my diving buddy. And just like being in a boat, you ever get in a boat and you just start drifting, and before you know it, you're miles out, and you're thinking, my goodness, how far I drifted away from shore, look how far we are, we better start paddling back. And the same thing spiritually with that deceptive spirit, just get you a little bit further to get you way out there to where you almost can't find your way back home. You're losing your navigation and also your conscience between truly what is right and wrong. Because didn't the Bible say that in the end times, good will be considered evil and evil will be considered good? How boy, we see that out there now, blatantly, big time, you know, big time. And pushing the agenda of the Antichrist. This Antichrist, after the church is gone, after the church is raptured, and the Antichrist is going to make a pact with Israel, which supposedly is going to seem like a peaceful pact for 3.5 years, but he'll bring destruction, though. And this Antichrist is going to make Hitler look like a choir boy, you know, according to what he's going to bring on the earth. And it's going to be just demonic. All of hell will be unleashed. And why? Because the church and the Holy Ghost, we won't be here present. The church is holding back the forces of evil from just going rampant on the earth right now. It's us, Holy Ghost-filled Christians. It's us that are doing it. So we have to stand and maintain our posts. You can't give any slack. Especially now, you know, and just go belly up when something is imposed and it goes against our very God-given rights and our liberties. We have to say, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. And be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah. In When Jesus, truth is often uncomfortable because it requires you to self-examine your life and to repent and make changes when possible. When you tell a person the truth, yeah, it's uncomfortable. And a lot of churches where they don't want to lose people, they don't want to get offended. But Jesus even offended many people. He did by his word. He didn't tell the people to appease them what they wanted to hear. And in John, turn there real quickly, in John, the 6th chapter, verse 60. When the disciples heard Jesus preaching, many of them said, "This is a hard and difficult saying, an offensive and unbearable message. Who can stand to hear it?" This is what his own disciples said to him, because Jesus told them, "Unless you drink my blood and eat my body, you have no part in me." That was hard for them. And some departed, some had left, because he said that was a hard saying for them. And after this, many of the disciples drew back, and the word says they returned to their old associations and no longer followed him. Returned to their old way of life, old associations, old drinking buddies, went back to doing the things that they used to do in the world, all because they got offended because of the word's sake. People in these last days will get offended because of the word's sake. So does that mean you kind of water things down? No, I don't like anything watered down, especially my coffee. You know, don't like anything watered down. You know, you see in some places, you know, you go places to eat, they'll pour some water to dilute things, to stretch, you know, to make it go a little further, and full strength everything, full strength of the word. And that's what we need. You know, people just go easy on us, you know, just give us a word that'll just, you know, lift us up. And the word exhorts, the word encourages, the word edifies. But on the flip side, the word rebukes, the word corrects, and the word also disciplines. So you can't just have it to where, you know, give me a pleasant word. I mean, you know what we're going through now. I mean, we just come out of, but yet there's the corrective side of the word. There's the rebuke side of the word. Sometimes this generation can't handle rebuke, you know, rebuke them and you don't see them again. I ain't going back to that church, you know, got rebuked. The word will rebuke you. It'll discipline you. It'll correct you. How many of you and parents will let your kids slide, you know, when you see them going off and doing, you know, doing major, acting up in the home, going against the rules of the house? Growing up, my parents were never easy on me, never easy, never. When we got seated at the supper table and my mom cooked a meal for us, you turned your nose up at her, you didn't eat it, or made a comment, you either got my dad's backhand or you went without dinner until the next morning, you know, until breakfast. You didn't, you know, it's like, oh, what's that? Oh, I don't like that. Pick up the phone and call Domino's and Pizza Hut home delivery. We didn't have that back then, you know, call Pizza Hut because you didn't like what Mama cooked. There was just none of that. But nowadays, you know, the kids just have their way and no restrictions, and they're babied and pampered. And you know, and as I believe Elder Jaime said, you know, give them the option. Baby girl, you don't have to come to church if you don't want to, or, you know, your children. I remember there was a time when, you know, we brought our kids to church as small, and they had coloring books and played, and they weren't a distraction. They kept quiet. But the children, we know we're doing some work in the children's church, but you can still bring your children here to church. Doesn't mean, well, I got to stay home because my kids, you know. Bring them here to church. Let them hear the word. It's good for them. It's like Wheaties. It's just like that, you know, it'll infuse, fortify you. And you know, it's not going to go over their head. The gospel is simple to understand. And when you come here, The meals may have broccoli, they may have asparagus, they may have something that you don't want to eat, and it's just, oh, but it's still good for you, though. It's still good for you. And the Word of God, every part of it, whether you're edified, encouraged, and there'll be times when that will happen, but there'll be times when you come to church where you get a spanking, and we need that. We need that. You know, not to get offended and, oh, you know, and then not see you for two more months. But the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, does all of these things. The Word's full rounded. And so that's why we need to be here when the doors are opened. Yeah. So after the rapture, the catching away of the church, the tribulation will be ushered in when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Who will this Antichrist be? Well, he's already on the earth, and his spirit is already infiltrating everywhere, in our levels of government, in our school system. It's everywhere. And he is a man, and he'll come out of Europe, and Daniel 11 already says that he will be a homosexual. Book of Daniel says that he'll have no interest in any god because he will make himself greater than anyone else. Some have thought in the past that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. Some thought Mussolini. I know back in years ago, I think when I was still in high school, you know, word got out where they says Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist, you know. And there are some of you husbands that say, my wife's the Antichrist, you know. sorry, ladies. But yet the Antichrist will come out of Europe. He'll be a global dictator. He'll be an economic czar who will have the answer for this global economic collapse that the world is facing. He'll bring peace for a season, and then bring sudden destruction. Turn to Revelation, the 13th chapter. You know, I was in Walmart the other day, and as I was checking out, the sign said, "No, not accepting, no cash." I thought, here we go, you know, only plastic, only, you know. So I think more and more we're going to become seeing that less of a cashless society, more plastic, more of the introducing of the chip to where, you know, you can purchase just about anything, purchase your airline ticket just by, you know, you get the chip planted in your right hand and boop, and you have access to everything. And some people will flock to it. They'll flock to it because the American dollar basically doesn't have any value anymore. There's nothing to back it. The American dollar, and a lot of you know this, you see this, but for some of you who don't, on the back of it, where the pyramid is, there's that. There's those three words, and I've written it down, but it basically means one world order on the back, right under the pyramid there. So there's no backing for the American dollar anymore. There's nothing to back it. So with it being worthless, the next move, the next stage will be to a cashless society. And everything will be digital dollars, electronic, and it'll just seem so easy for everyone. But again, these things are not going to come on upon us like a flood. It's going to be slowly just infiltrating, just slowly, just to get you to conform, just to get you to little by little, just like a snake would do, you know, how it just slivers up slowly by slowly with deceptive ways. And some will just buy into it. You know, lock, stock, and barrel. They'll think it's the best thing since, you know, sliced bread. But in actuality, you know, it's the worst thing, especially when they start pushing for forced vaccinations for this COVID, you know. Anyways, are you there in Revelation 13? He will perform great signs startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. And because of the signs which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, he deceives. Well, he's the master at deception. There's no truth in the devil or in the Antichrist or any of his henchmen. There's no truth in them, only to deceive. That's what he's a master at. He'll deceive those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue in the likeness of the beast who was wounded by the sword and still live. Now, this is all going to take place in the tribulation time. This is after the church is raptured, and we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the judgment seat of Christ, where the earth will experience 7 years of literally hell on earth called the tribulation. And he is permitted to impart the breath of life into the beast's image so that the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. So there's going to be some great signs and wonders happening. And for the people that are here, God forbid for those Christians who are left behind and don't make the rapture, and for those that are in the tribulation, there's going to be signs and wonders that the beast, the Antichrist, will perform. But don't be deceived by that, though, as well. Because, you know, there's the fake and there's the authentic. There's always, you know, God's miracles. But Satan is a counterfeit, and he'll counterfeit these things. But yet, it'll deceive many. And they'll see this statue coming back to life, or this when he got the shot in the head, come back to life, they'll say, surely this is God. Surely this is the Messiah. But it's not. And so they'll be deceived into worshiping the beast, the Antichrist. And then it goes on to say that he also compels, this is verse 16, he also compels all alike, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the mark, the inscription of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Then it goes on to say, here's discernment or wisdom. Let everyone who has intelligence calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a man, 666. But thank God we won't be here, you know, for that when all of this takes place and it all breaks out. But in the meantime, though, what is the responsibility? What is the mandate? What is the mission of the church? What are we to do? Two things. And we talked about them the other week. Stay ready. Get ready. Get your heart ready. Make sure your heart is purified. You have a pure heart. You're ready to meet Jesus, because it could be at any time. Be ready. And preach the gospel. Share the good news. Be a testimony. Souls, winning souls is priority. It's priority with the Father. That is what the church to do, and to usher in this great harvest. You'll be hearing more and more about that. Don't want to sound repetitious, but this is what the church is to do. It's us. And for any of you, loved ones, any people that you know, it's when you think about hell, and it's a horrific place, you don't want anyone going there. There's been so many people, ministers, some have said God allowed them to go down into the bowels of the earth, into Hades, into hell. And what they saw, Kenneth Hagin was one of them. There were many that have valid testimonies. And this is for eternity, folks. It's not just for 20 years and then, you know, you get a second chance, stand before the Lord and he'll reevaluate you. This is it. Those who take the mark of the beast, for those that take this inscription, the chip, that will be mandatory. If you're a Christian, you say, I ain't taking that, your head will be chopped off. Well, you know, but be with the Lord. You're going to gain eternal salvation. But if you take the mark of the beast, and you're made to worship him, there's no hope for you. There's no salvation. You're on your way to hell. By taking that mark, you will be telling him that you're bowing your knee to him, paying him homage, and you'll be worshiping him. And so that's why right now we have to be busy, we have to be alert, we have to be spiritually sharp. And anyone, you know, any of those people, compel them, come back to church, get back into the presence of God. You know, if you're lukewarm, seek God, repent. But yet, you know, in the tribulation time, there's just going to be a lot of people that are going to be left who refuse to repent. And God is just holding back the windows of time again, just for people. What is holding Jesus back? It's souls. It's for the souls that need to be reached because he's so compassionate. And we can usher in his presence sooner. We can hasten it or we can hinder it. And we'll talk about that next time, next week when we go to part five. But the spirit of deception, though, to combat that, to make sure that you're spiritually sharp and keen, keep a renewed mind. Make sure your mind is renewed. Keep it occupied with the Word of God. And these other things that would just try to creep in, because it's just slow little bites the enemy will just take, sliver in, and just to try to get you to pull out. And we're not losing anyone. There should not be any casualties, you know, here in this church or anywhere else. Amen. Well, how about everyone, we bow our heads. And in closing, I just want to ask you, how would a person know for sure? How would even a Christian know for sure that you're deceived? Well, if you're asking that and searching your heart, chances are you're not. You're not. Continually searching your heart, evaluating your spiritual condition, you'll know that you are not deceived. But first of all, we have an inward witness who is the divine genius living on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And his job is he will keep you from all error and from all deception. So we have the Holy Spirit. Anyone who doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit, they're prone to error. They're prone to deception, to fall into error, because the Spirit of truth is not there within them. So we do self-evaluations, we do self-checkups all the time to make sure that there's not a trickle, not an ounce of anything deceptive, of error, erroneous, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. We stay sharp. And it's the Lord is counting on us to bring these, to bring in that harvest, the precious fruit of the earth, to bring these in. God's not going to come down again and help us and do this. We are it, the believers, the church, the strong church, the church that will stand, the church that will be in white garments, unwrinkled, unblemished, unhindered. That is us, the church, not faltering, not lackadaisical, not lukewarm, not maybe so, one foot in the world, one foot in church, but all sold out to God. This is the time to get sold out to him, to get on fire for the Lord. Not just because he may come at any time, but because of what he's requiring and asking us to do. All of you, if I was to ask for a show of hands, has brothers, sisters, uncle, aunts, moms, dads, spouse, loved one, who aren't saved and who were just out there in the world, I know that probably everybody would raise their hand, including myself. And so we need to pray for them. We need to pick up the phone, give them a call, plant the word. Don't just call them up and say, you want to get saved? You know, you want to accept Jesus? But, you know, be sensitive. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you when you talk to them or when you approach somebody. And plant the word. Plant the word of God when you're speaking to them. And so with every head bowed and all devices turned off, Father, Holy Spirit, I ask you in Jesus' name, you are the Spirit of truth. We thank you that we are protected, we are covered, that we have you as our guidance system on the inside of us. And Holy Spirit, we yield and submit ourselves to you continually, daily to you, staying sharp in the Spirit. You says that the people of God should be as wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. We're not pushovers, but we're wise and we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So Holy Spirit, I ask that for every believer, for everyone that's here and for everyone that's not here, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would prick their heart, that you would speak to them, and that their spiritual ears would be open to hear the call and to the urgency that we are in this hour. And if anyone is deceived, Holy Spirit, in any way, shape, or form by any of the tactics or wiles of the enemy, that you would reveal that to your people and that we would make these course corrections quickly and not drag our feet on that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Spirit of truth. We thank you, precious Spirit of grace. We thank you that you are taking us and leading us to that greater flow, the greater flow, as you've spoken in the first part of this year, even in the midst of what's going on in the world. The Father's plan, the Father's will shall be done. It shall be done. It shall be completed here at Faith Family Maui. We pray and ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Jaime, can you play that song in the presence of Jehovah?
Yeah. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Troubles that end, hearts unbended, in the presence of the King.
Can we all stand?
In the presence,
just lift your hands,
of
Jehovah.
God Almighty,
Spirit of Truth,
Prince of Peace,
all troubles vanish.
Troubles vanish. Hearts unbended in the presence.
One more time.
In the presence,
in your presence,
of Jehovah,
sweet presence,
God Almighty,
he's the Prince of Peace,
Prince of Peace.
Make all your troubles vanish.
Troubles vanish.
And mend your heart.
Hearts unmended. In the presence of the King.
Did you receive the word today in your hearts?